Welcome to the Casey Kowar Show, a celebration of words. I'm pleased to have as a return guest Michael Conley. And Mr. Conley and I will be discussing The Lincoln Lawyer, which is being published on October 3rd by Little Brown. And first of all, Michael, thank you very much for joining us today.
Well, I'm glad to be back again.
First of all, let me congratulate you on the success of The Closers. It debuted at number one on the New York Times bestseller list and has been a very successful novel for you, and one that very deservedly so.
Well, thanks. I mean, it's been an interesting and fun career I've had. It's a little bit surprising that, you know, 15 books down the line you hit number one, but I guess each one is kind of built on the other, and I've had a lot of good support. I know we talked about it, and that helped, and a lot of good things happened with that book. And sometimes it just it's not really a matter of what's in the book or the editorial part of the book. It's really getting all the stars aligned and getting enough people talking about it, enough TV commercials, and enough reviews, and it all adds up. And it did that time. We came close a couple other times, but The Closer seemed to put it all together.
That's great. Michael, let's talk about The Lincoln Lawyer, and I think it's a fabulous book. I think the character that you've created, Mickey Holler, is just jumps right off the page at you, and this is a character that took you a little longer to develop than your normal novels do, didn't it?
Yeah, I mean, if you got a good ride from it and you like the character, I think it says something about planting seeds and letting things grow. I think my background as a journalist makes me a fast writer, and I like, to me, writing is all about momentum, and I like to keep moving. But every now and then, I will have a story idea, and it won't be the right time to write it, or I will need to spend some extra time researching it. And I could have kind of put it in my back pocket, and it has so happened that the three books that come to mind, and none of them were Harry Bosch books, that I did this with, for the poet, Bloodwork, and now The Lincoln Lawyer. And it seems that when I've kind of had this story kind of swimming around in the back of my mind while I'm writing other books, when it is time to write that story, it's a very vibrant and wonderful writing experience, and I think that shows up on the page. And so this book was like, I don't know, 5 years in the coming. Well, 5 years probably from the point that someone planted the idea in my head to when I actually wrote it, and I think it benefited from that.
And this time, Mickey Holler is a defense attorney. And how was that different for you to write from the point of view of a criminal defense attorney from the type of novels that you've traditionally written?
Quite different, because it's kind of, I'm almost like writing about the enemy. I'm so associated with writing about cops and investigators, and here I'm writing about a guy whose avocation is to protect the accused, to find ways of making their punishment lighter or to help them avoid it altogether. And you know, so it's a different mindset, and but it was refreshing. So I think when you come to a character that's completely new like that, get too excited. And so this was like the writing period of this book was actually shorter than most, but if you count it by days, but probably not by hours, because I just wanted to write about this guy all the time, and I hole up in my writing room for many hours a day, much more than I would if I was writing a Harry Bosch novel.
Now tell us a bit about Mickey Holler. There is a connection to Bosch, is that correct?
Yeah, I mean, it's not in this book. It's kind of like a aha that is for people who have been riding along with me, and then it will be fleshed out in the future. I mean, I think I'll come back to Mickey Holler. When I started writing this book, I thought it was a one-shot deal. By the time I was done, I liked this character a lot, and I know I want to come back to him at some point. But way back in my second book, The Black Ice, which was published in 1993, there's a three-page episode where Harry thinks about how he sought out who his father was. He came home from the Vietnam War. He's at the stage in his life where he wanted to know about his roots, and he had never known who his father was. So he did the research and found out. out who his father is just as he is dying of cancer. He visits his father on his deathbed, and then a few weeks later he's dead. And Harry goes to the funeral but stands on the hillside far away and just kind of watches, and he sees that Nicky Haller had a family. So Harry knows he has siblings, half brothers, half sisters. And so then you jump to contemporary times, and this book is about Nicky Haller Jr., so it's Harry's half-brother. Nicky Haller Jr. probably has no idea that he has a half-brother who's an LAPD detective, but the name is distinctive enough that when somewhere down the road when Harry crosses paths with Nicky Haller Jr., he's going to know this is my half-brother.
Okay. Well, I can't wait for that. Mickey Haller's father, one of the things that he said is, I'm paraphrasing, but there's nothing worse than defending an innocent man, or there's nothing more frightening than defending an innocent man. And that really is part of the conflict that you work through with the Lincoln Lawyer, isn't it, Michael, about what happens if someone is innocent in this huge machine, which is the criminal system out in Los Angeles.
Yeah, I mean, I think the justice system is pretty much geared towards processing guilty people, basically adjudicating their guilt and what their punishment should be. So if you throw someone who's innocent into that, it kind of throws off everything. And if you're a journeyman defense attorney like Mickey Haller is, it scares the hell out of you. And that's the quote that he picks up from his father, that no client is scary as an innocent man, because You gotta do your best, more than your A game, because you can't have on your conscience that an innocent man went to jail, because of your lack of skills or your mistakes made in handling the case. So it's quite a burden, and I did a lot of research for this book, more so than most of the books I write, and that was, they don't want to admit this, the undercurrent of the defense attorneys I dealt with was that they just assume not have innocent clients because of the burden it can lay on them. You know, I think in popular media, entertainment, movies, and so forth, there's all these wonderful legal stories and legal thrillers about the innocent man. And the reality is that puts so much pressure on the defense attorney that it's hard to deal with, and they kind of want to shrink back to their expertise, which is like negotiating deals, finding getting the best set of circumstances for the client who they believe is guilty.
And as one of the things that I found very, very enjoyable about the novel is you show us a lot of different cases that Mickey Haller represents. And like any good mystery, the old saying, "Don't show a knife unless you use it." All of the cases that we find out about eventually come into play in the Lincoln Lawyer, and it really turns into a very intricate plot as the novel progresses. And I really liked how you placed the different cases in the novel, the construction and the style, so that we came to see how each case reflected or had an impact on the other cases as things started to unfold.
I wanted to do two things. One was I wanted to, as accurate as I could, show what this kind of life is, and it's really about chasing money, getting clients to pay you, getting clients. And I think, again, when you see most of entertainment when it comes to legal issues and trial practice, you have, and it carries over to police novels as well, like one case. It's always focused on one case, and the reality is these guys are juggling cases. Cops juggle cases, and defense attorneys, prosecutors, everyone. There's many, many different cases. And I like the idea about this guy kind of driving, floating around through the city in his Lincoln Town car, and handling everything that he can get his hands on. His motto, it's not really in the book. I mean, it's not in the book at all. But this was inspired by an attorney who operated the same way. And he basically told me his motto was, "Have case, will travel." And he will go where he has to go to make money. And that's a big part of the reality of this kind of work. And I wanted to picture will be part of a big plan that Mickey has.
And one of the things that, that Mickey Haller does, which I enjoy too, is he has two ex-wives who are still intricately involved in his life. And I really like the character of Lorna Taylor, who is how would you refer to Lorna Taylor? She's not really his, I guess she's his office manager in a way, but...
He's like the office manager of a non-existent office. She's almost like a cyberspace type character in that Mickey's office is basically his car. He has to keep moving from courthouse to courthouse to keep going with his cases. But he needs kind of like a anchor or a landline, and so Lorna is the one who handles his billing, handles the scheduling and all the stuff. They communicate mostly by phone. It says early in the book that they have lunch once a month, so he actually physically sees her, but otherwise that's not necessary to what he does. I mean, at one time they were married. Now they're not. It was an amicable split because it was the second marriage for both, and they went into it for the wrong reasons. They knew that. And so they have this relationship. I toyed with the idea of never showing her through the book, but I got some feedback from an editor and a couple other people who read the book and read the early manuscripts and said they liked the character on the phone enough that they would like to see her. So there is one moment in the book where she shows up in a courtroom towards the end and she's actually seen, and I still debate whether I should have ever showed her.
It is very effective when she does appear, though. And then Earl, his driver, is another character I really enjoyed. And talk a little bit, Michael, about music is always an important part of your novels, and it's primarily been jazz. In the past, you've dealt with jazz. This time, you talk about hip hop and rap because it's so important to the clients that Mickey Haller is representing. And in fact, Mickey has some CDs of some mixes that have been made for him. And it sounds to me like you listened to quite a bit before you actually wrote this novel.
Yeah, I mean, all this comes out of research, and then something I wanted to do with the character. So let me talk about the research first. I spent a lot of time with a couple of criminal defense attorneys who are on the low edge of the justice system in terms of who their clients are. And, you know, whether it makes a social statement or not, their clients are probably 90% minority. And they are not as talented as defense attorneys are sometimes, you know, brought to be or depicted. And they want to have an understanding of their clients. And these two lawyers are ones who told me, you ought to listen to some of this rap music, because this is where a lot of these young people who end up being caught up in the justice system end up committing crimes. I mean, they're not saying they're innocent people. But this is where they kind of take their cues, their social cues, and they're getting it from this music. And there's a point in the book where Mickey, somewhat drunk, but he says to one of his ex-wives, you know, most of my clients are guilty, but they're not evil, and there's a big difference. And that's what these attorneys that I hung out with, wanted to impress on me. You know, there's a story behind every one of them. We try to understand them, and then we try to do what we can for them. And I wanted to get that into the book, and there was, I don't know what you call it, a device or a plan, but I wanted the book to start out with him seeming like he's one of these callous guys, all about the money and chasing the money. That is absolutely a big part of his life, and it's a big part of the new attorneys I hung out with. But I kind of finessed the dimension of caring in as we go along. He takes care of the key client he never charges because he has some kind of sympathetic bond, or he is badly broken when someone is killed that is close to him, and he espouses the difference between being guilty and being evil. And so I think the reader has to bear with me a little bit, but it's a slow-moving relationship between the reader and the protagonist in this book. But I think if you can give it, 100 pages, you will be connected to this guy, and you'll wonder, how did that
Yes, and I'm glad you made that point, Michael, because when I was talking to Shannon Byrne about the novel, that's exactly what I told her. As I said, it took about maybe 50 to 75 pages for me to really get the character. And by page 100, and we're not going to give anything away, but there's another old case that Mickey Haller had worked on that resurfaces, and it completely changes the way you see Mickey Haller and Luis Rouleau, the men that Haller is primarily defending, his franchise case. But you really start to understand the story when that happens.
I'm lucky. I have a lot of freedom. I have this guy Harry Bosch that is my franchise, I guess you could say.
Mm-hmm.
And I know I have readers who love him and will ride with me. And because of him, they're willing to give me the freedom to try other things, and they're willing to be patient with me. So I kind of go into this book knowing I have more time than I've maybe most writers or someone writing a first novel to hook them or to you know, writing is about this empathic bond between the protagonist and the reader. They got to strike some kind of empathy between, and you have a certain amount of space to do that, a certain amount number of pages. You know, it's a subjective thing for most. I mean, it's different for different readers, but it's not a lot. It's not a lot of pages. And, you know, when I write Harry Bosch, I have a significant group of readers who already have that bond before they've read one word of the book. And I can work on getting new readers in those books as well. But anyway, I feel like I have somewhat of a past in when I venture off of Harry Bosch's office and do something different. I have a little bit more time, and I have a little bit more patience from the reader to set things up. And that's definitely what happens. I think it's somewhat of a slow setup. I think if you look at a book I wrote, 7 or 8 years ago called Blood Work, there's a hook on that book that happens on page 8. You know, the hook in this book, if it's even discernible as a hook, as you say, happens when this other case surfaces, and it's, you know, many, many pages in. And, you know, I think, I'm not trying to say, please bear with me.
No.
I think the book is very interesting and a very accurate look at the underside of the justice system up until that point, and hopefully the reader is fascinated anyway. But I think it's not until the point you're talking about that they add to that fascination a feeling or an empathy for Mickey Haller.
And Michael, at what point when you were writing this did you start thinking that this might just not be a standalone novel, that this might be a character that you wanted to spend more time with?
I think it was that scene that I mentioned before, where Mickey has had too much to drink. He's been driven home from an ex-wife who, despite his problems or foibles, still likes him and respects him. Respect is a big part of it. And they have a discussion about themselves, about their daughter, and about his standing in life and his view of his client. And everything comes together in this one little scene that's like, I don't know, two or three pages. And it, to me, it's the best scene in the book. It's the one I feel best about as a writer. And when I wrote that, you obviously come to the conclusion, like, why would I only write about this guy one time if this is the kind of message he's emanating from him? You know, and this is someone I should come back to. And, you know, I don't have the story yet. I'm writing a Harry Bosch book now, which I thought was going to have him in it, but I decided it's not the right time to bring him back. But I think he'll be back.
Well, good. Now, Michael, am I correct? Have the film rights to The Lincoln Lawyer been sold?
Yeah, they were. The manuscript, actually, before I was quite finished with the book, kind of circulated around, and got a lot of interest. And the producers who produced Million Dollar Baby optioned it from me, and so that's pretty exciting. It's kind of like, you know, one week I see them on the Oscar show accepting the Best Picture Oscar, and a couple weeks later I'm having dinner with them and they want to make a movie too. I think he's a good writer, and Hollywood, it comes down to one thing, not how good the book is, it's how good the script is based on the book is, and so I think it's in good hands. We'll see.
Well, that's fantastic. Well, congratulations on that.
Thanks. I mean, I've optioned a lot of stuff over the years, sold a lot of stuff over the years, and not a lot has been made, only one movie. And you kind of learn a little bit of, you know, you only have control or power at one point, and that's when you say yes or no to somebody's offer. After that, it's out of your hands. So I've tried to really concentrate on that point of control in choosing who would do this. And I just made the Hollywood story about seeing these guys on the Oscars. That's not why I went with them. I had other offers and other suitors for this material, but they espoused a philosophy which I really admire and want to try, because the other places I've sold for, that wasn't their philosophy. And it's essentially that, you know, we're not even going to talk to you about who could play Mickey Holler. We're going to write a screenplay without an actor in mind and just try to get the heart of this book into a script, and then we'll see who wants to play it. And everywhere else I've ever sold a book, they said, you know, we're going to write this for Harrison Ford. We're going to write this for Tom Cruise. You know, they put the star first, and they form a script towards basically dating some specific star. And then if that star is not interested, the project is dead. And this is what they did with Million Dollar Baby. They had a script first, then they got Hilary Swank, and then like Clint Eastwood came in at the end. But they started with the script. They didn't start with the stars. And this will be the first time that's happened with me, so I'm interested to see what happens.
Oh, that's fantastic. It sounds really exciting. Michael, what would you like to tell people about The Lincoln Lawyer? What are you happiest about as a writer about this new book and this kind of new character that you've created?
Well, I can think from the standpoint of being the writer, I'm really happy that I think I show another dimension of my skills. I mean, as I said at the top, I'm pretty much associated with being a police writer, a writer of police stories, or police procedural, if you really want to get down to the classification. And I'm happy with that, but my interests as a reader are more wide-ranging than that. Therefore, my interest as a writer would follow suit. And I've always loved legal thrillers and legal stories, because dating back to, you know, I date back my becoming a writer to spending the summer trying to get out of the heat in South Florida and going into an air conditioned library, and there's a librarian there who saw me like just sitting around on the couches cooling off and said, you know, you can't be in here unless you're reading, and he gave me To Kill a Mockingbird to read. And, you know, I know that's a great literary novel, but it's also a legal thriller, if you ask me. And so I date my interest in legal stories back to that, and then you have like Presumed Innocent that have, you know, thrilled me. And, you know, so I know I've written Harry Bosch books where there's trial, and, you know, that's always a component of some of the stories. But this is, I think, the first straight legal novel I've written, and I'm pretty happy with it. I mean, I should be happy with it because it's my 16th book. I mean, it should be a good, you should get better with each book you write, and so I should have been in a position where I could write a decent legal thriller, and, you know, that's what I think I have. I think my profile in sales and the exception has always been that people are a little bit, what's the right word, hesitant when they pick up a Connelly book and say, and they see it's not a Harry Bosch. I think Harry Bosch, for most of my readers, is a sure thing, and then they hesitate a little bit when I do something different. And this is the first one I feel that there really shouldn't be any hesitation, because I think it's a pretty solid story and it's happening.
Yes, I would echo that, because, well, I've enjoyed all the novels, but The Lincoln Lawyer, I think, really is extraordinary for someone who has written 16 other novels and developed a character like Bosch, to start a fresh character like this, who is so different and so so unlike Bosch, is really that's one of the things I think that made it so interesting. And it's just very, very well written and very well constructed as a legal thriller, which I enjoy writing as well. Michael, it had to be a thrill for you when Scott Turow put a blurb on the back of The Lincoln Lawyer telling how much he enjoyed the novel.
Yeah, I mean, when you think about, like, who... I mean, I can't think of anybody else I would want to have on the back of that cover endorsing this book. I mean, he's the guy who set the, you know, the watermark with his book. It's a mix of literary fineness and the aspect of a legal thriller. I mean, he's the, you know, the top of the game, and for him to say he enjoyed this really means a lot to me. That was quite an exciting day when I heard from my editor that that had come in. And if you notice, I haven't put blurbs on my book in, I don't know, 12 years or something. I think it was my fifth book was the last one that I wouldn't put any blurbs on. And so, you know, 10 books later or something, to have this on there is pretty exciting.
That's great. Well, Michael, thank you very much for the generous gift of your time today. I look forward to everyone out there reading The Lincoln Lawyer and look forward to catching up with you again when the next book comes out.
Thanks for the continued interest. I look forward.